RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program Our Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by Today in History, Focus, and News in Brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. To conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program for summary for today.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo promoting investment potential to South Korean businessmen. The Islamic Development Bank IDB annual meeting to discuss humanitarian issues. Organization of Islamic Cooperation OIC to strengthen disaster impact management. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo delivering presentation on Indonesian economic conditions to promote Indonesian investment and business potential to South Korean businessmen in a business forum in Seoul on Monday morning. The president, in a business forum attended by at least 450 Korean businessmen, explained, "Although the world economy is unstable, when the stock market in China slows and oil prices in the United States fell down, but the rupiah remained stable. To the entrepreneurs in the country, President Joko Widodo also said that Indonesia is building infrastructure such as highways, railways, port, airport, and dams for irrigation. In addition, the president explained that the Indonesian government is to deregulate the economy to ease investment and business support for entrepreneurs from home and abroad. Meanwhile, Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno LP Marsudi said there will be the signing of a Memorandum of Understanding in the field of maritime, eradication of corruption, sport, geospatial, and peatland management between Indonesia and South Korea during the visit of President Joko Widodo in South Korea. As many as 1,300 Indonesians had attended a diaspora meeting with President Joko Widodo at Crystal Ballroom Lotte Hotel on Sunday evening, May 15, 2016. In the event, the president elaborated a number of policies of his administration, among others, streamlined licensing process for ease of investment and infrastructure development in Indonesia. The president said the current development is spread evenly, no more Java-centric or development, it's Indonesia-centric instead. On the occasion, President Joko Widodo talked about some progress of infrastructure development, such as Trans-Sumatra Toll Road and Trans-Sulawesi Railway. Joko Widodo expressed the importance of inter-island connectivity through seaport and airport, both for logistics export and import as well as passenger transport. He added that the government will embark on the development of the borders, such as the borders of Kalimantan and Malaysia, East Nusa Tenggara and Timor Leste, as well as Papua and Papua New Guinea. Vice President of the Islamic Development Bank IDB for Cooperation and Capacity Development, Syed Akka, invited the IDB member countries to bring humanitarian issues in the World Humanitarian Summit next week in Istanbul, Turkey. In his remark at the panel discussion on enhancing resilience in IDB member countries, humanitarian and development nexus, Sunday in Jakarta, Syed Akka expressed hope that IDB countries could take part in reducing the impacts of global humanitarian issues.
This is why I think the issue of the World Humanitarian Summit should be in the discussion. I hope that you will guide us so we can take with us to Istanbul next week is how we can reduce, if I may call it, the humanitarian caseload. And that is part of the solution. It's a complex problem, but part of the solution that is under our control, that we can really do something about it, is how we design and implement humanitarian response.
The panel discussion on enhancing resilience in IDB member countries, humanitarian and development nexus, was one of series of Islamic Development Bank 41st annual meeting held in Jakarta on 15th to 19th of May 2016. The discussion was attended by various stakeholders related to humanitarian issues. The discussion is expected to produce ideas on solving the impacts of humanitarian issues such as poverty, crisis, and social conflicts. Director General Statistical, Economic, and Social Research and Training for Islamic Countries of Organization of Islamic Cooperation, OIC, Ambassador Musa Kulaklike said that there are at least five important points that should be considered in order to reduce vulnerability while building the resilience of OIC member countries. It was stated by Kulaklike in a panel discussion on enhancing resilience in Islamic Development Bank member countries, humanitarian and development nexus, Sunday in Jakarta. He said among the five factors, the OIC member countries should improve disaster risk reduction effort as well as to mobilize financial system for humanitarian assistance.
First one is promotion of inclusive societies and inclusive development through good performance. Second critical factor is strengthening social capital mediation and partnership. Third important factor is reducing vulnerabilities and building resilience in OIC member countries is investment in human capital and facilitating social mobility. The fourth one is intensifying the disaster risk reduction and management practices. It's critical to mobilize innovative financing mechanism for humanitarian assistance and development.
Furthermore, Ambassador Musa Kulaklike also stated that natural disasters and social conflicts are potentially increasing vulnerability and poverty in the community that will lead to the risk of humanitarian crisis. In this case, he argued OIC member countries require a broader and long-term perspective to achieve peace and sustainable development. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian National Police Chief General Badruddin Haiti said he was not concerned if the Indonesian military TNI participated to arrest people who wear the attributes of Communist Party Indonesia or Indonesian Communist Party PKI, such as hammer and sickle. According to Badruddin Haiti, TNI can catch the person to help the Polri agency. Badruddin Haiti at police headquarters in Jakarta on Monday said who taking the person using attributes such as the symbol of hammer and sickle can be prosecuted while the legal process is still being done by Polri or the police. So, after the military captured the person, it will be handed over to the police. On similar occasion, Indonesian Military Commander General Gatot Nurmantio said that TNI just run the existing laws. Those who oversee the violation, they are obliged to act. The state-owned lender Bank Mandiri reported 3.8 trillion rupiah in net profit in the first quarter of 2016 thanks to increases in net interest income and fee-based income. The country's largest bank in asset recorded a 19.1% in increase in net premium and net interest income to 13 trillion rupiah, an 8% rise in fee-based income to 4.2 trillion rupiah. President Director of the Bank Kartika Wirjo Atmojo said the increase in net interest income and fee-based jacked up operating income that surged 16.3% on year to 17.2 trillion rupiah. Earlier, a bank director, Tardi, said the target set for this year is more than quadrupling the target of only 3.2 trillion rupiah in 2015. The bank has established more small branch offices in the regions to facilitate disbursement of course for micro, small and medium enterprises. Growth in net profit was the smallest in a decade as the bank stepped up provisions. But the lender's 2015 profit was still higher than the average forecast of 19.59 trillion rupiah. The last item, Minister of Communication and Information Rudiantara said that Indonesia now lacks digital expert. In fact, he said that growth of digital industries is very high. Rudiantara said in Jakarta Sunday that Indonesian industries are forced to hire expert from India. The minister added that information technology plays an important role to advance micro, small and medium enterprises in Indonesia. Therefore, he said that the government needs to take measures to boost the growth of micro, small and medium enterprises in digital industries. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian President Joko Widodo promoting investment potential to South Korean businessmen. The Islamic Development Bank IDB annual meeting to discuss humanitarian issues. Organization of Islamic Cooperation OIC to strengthen disaster impact management. That was the news.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary. Today's commentary is on Indonesian football after lifting of FIFA sanction. The International Football Federation, FIFA, formally lifted the sanctions on the Football Association of Indonesia, PSSI, during the 66th FIFA Congress in Mexico on Friday. FIFA President Gianni Infantino said that the decision was made after he received reports that the Indonesian government has revoked the freeze on activities on the PSSI. FIFA sanctioned PSSI after the government of Indonesia, through the Ministry of Youth and Sports, had frozen the PSSI per April 17, 2015. Starting from that date, all activities of PSSI were not recognized. FIFA assessed the freezing of the PSSI as an intervention by the government. As a result, FIFA then imposed sanctions on Indonesia since May 30, 2015. They include loss of membership privileges, and all teams in Indonesia, both clubs and the national team, were banned from international competition held by FIFA and the Asian Football Confederation, AFC. FIFA sanctions also prohibit members and officials benefit from FIFA and the AFC, such as development programs, courses, or trainings. The lifting of FIFA sanctions is indeed a breath of fresh air for all lovers of sport in the country. Many parties like the PSSI, the government, in this case the Ministry of Youth and Sports, welcome the lifting of FIFA sanctions. Hopefully, this can be a momentum for joint efforts to restore the Indonesian national team's achievements to the international level. Both the government and PSSI should be able to start a new chapter to create better relations and mutually support each other. May the lifting of sanctions on the PSSI by FIFA could also encourage national football to become better and to improve relations among all stakeholders of the national football. Well, that was commentary today on Indonesian football after the lifting of FIFA sanctions. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Nice to meet you again. I'm Hirman Rahmana in our regular Today in History operary World Service Voice of Indonesia. Well, listener, we start from an event on May 16, 1916, when Sykes-Picot Agreement was signed. Sykes-Picot Agreement was a secret agreement between United Kingdom of Great Britain and Ireland and the French Third Republic with the assent of Russian Empire, defining their proposed spheres of influence and control in southwestern Asia should be triple and the success in defeating the Ottoman Empire during World War I. The negotiation of treaty occurred between November 1915 and March 1916. The agreement was signed on 16th of May 1916 and was exposed to the public in Auspicia and Pravda on 23rd November 1917 and in the British Guardian on November 26, 1917. The agreement was considered to have saved the region, defining the borders of Iraq and Syria and leading to the current conflict between Israel and Palestinians. The next event was in 1947 when Sir Frederick Golan Hopkins died. Sir Frederick Golan Hopkins was an English biochemist who was awarded the Nobel Prize in Biology or Medicine in 1929 with the Christian Eggmund for the discovery of vitamins. He also discovered the amino acid tryptophan in 1901. He died on 16th of May 1947 in Cambridge and was buried at the Paris of the Accession Burial Ground in Cambridge. And the last event was in 1988 when American mothership was attacked by Iraq. On 16th of May 1988, in the era of Iran-Iraq War, Iraqi combat aircraft attacked American mothership, which was Persian Gulf. In the attack, 37 American Army personnel were killed and many others were injured. The government of Iraq immediately apologized to the United States on the attack, which was called accident, and expressed their willingness to reimburse. Seeing the reaction of Americans, which was soft, some observers have expressed that this attack was actually the American scenario and Saddam's regime to bring out the insecurity in the Persian Gulf, given a reason for the United States to send warship to the Persian Gulf that was today in history.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with Focus. Today's focus is Indonesia should be wary of the emergence of a latent danger of communism. The emergence of the spread of the Indonesian Communist Party, which has attributed lately, is troubling some parties in Indonesia. They are of the opinion that Indonesia should be wary of the infiltration and spread of latent communism that could endanger the life of the nation and state. Indonesian Ministry of Defense held a meeting with a number of retired Indonesian National Army forces, civil societies, youth and religious organizations in Jakarta on Friday. Defense Minister Ria Mizar Triangkudu said the meeting was important to be aware of the latent danger of communism, which in the past was led by the defunct Indonesian Communist Party. On that occasion, Minister Ria Mizar Triangkudu reminded the Indonesian nation to be aware of the spread of communist ideology, which could undermine Indonesia's social cohesion and economic stability, such as through the country's defense program.
Melalui pertemuan ini, saya mengajak saudara-saudara semua yang tergabung dalam berbagai ormas.
Through this meeting, I'm asking you, all of you who join various mass organizations, whether it's youth, religious, and community organizations who love Pancasila as the state ideology, to be aware of the real threat of the infiltration of ideologies that is packed in a modern way through active use of media and means of advanced social media, popular in our society these days. The Ministry of Defense sought to continue to raise awareness within the community of the different manifestations, one through defending the country's activities. Minister Ria Mizar Triangkudu emphasized that only the ideology of Pancasila can be the glue and unite all components within the nation and state. So it becomes very important to understand and practice the Pancasila as the state philosophy. He also requested that all components of the Indonesian people have to unite against the spread of communist ideology. The same thing was also expressed by Chairman of Pancasila Youth Organization, Yapto Solistio Suryo Sumarno. He said that communist ideology should not exist in Indonesia, and the government should prohibit anyone from spreading ideology which is contrary to the ideology of Pancasila. Meanwhile, Secretary General of the Muslim Forum, Muhammad Al-Khattab, asked the Indonesian government
to take legal measures and ban any teachings against God for violating the law in force in Indonesia. According to Al-Kathath, Muslims along with the Indonesian National Army are ready to jointly fight against the rise of the ideology and communism that could threaten the safety of the nation. That was Focus. I'm Nuga Kusumawati.
Listener, welcome to News in Brief. Indonesian President Joko Widodo delivering presentation on Indonesian economic conditions to promote Indonesian investment and business potential to South Korean businessmen in a business forum in Seoul on Monday morning. The president in a business forum attended by at least 450 Korean businessmen explained, although the world economy is unstable, when the stock market in China slowed down and oil prices in the United States fell down, but the rupiah remained stable. As many as 1,300 Indonesians had attended a diaspora meeting with President Joko Widodo at Crystal Ballroom Lotte Hotel on Sunday evening, May 15, 2016. In the event, President elaborated a number of policies of his administration, among others, streamlined licensing process for ease of investment and infrastructure development in Indonesia. Vice President of the Islamic Development Bank IDB for Cooperation and Capacity Development, Syed Akka, invited the IDB member countries to bring humanitarian issues in the World Humanitarian Summit next week in Istanbul, Turkey. Director General Statistic, Economic and Social Research and Training for Islamic Countries of Organization of Islamic Cooperation, OIC, Ambassador Musa Kulaklike said that there are at least five important points that should be considered in order to reduce vulnerability while building the resilience of our OIC member countries. Indonesian National Police Chief General Badruddin Haiti said he was not concerned if the Indonesian military TNI participated to arrest people who wear the attributes of Communist Party Indonesian Communist Party, such as hammer and sickle. The state-owned lender bank Mandiri reported 3.8 trillion rupiah in net profit in the first quarter of 2016 thanks to increase in net interest income and fee-based income. The country's largest bank in asset recorded a 19.1% in increase in net premium and net interest income to 13 trillion rupiah, an 8% rise in fee-based income to 4.2 trillion rupiah. Minister of Communication and Information Rudiantara said that Indonesia now lacks digital export. In fact, he said that growth of digital industries is very high. Rudiantara said in Jakarta that Indonesian industries are forced to hire export from India. Listener, that was News in Brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
You still tuned to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequency of 9525 kHz, 11785 kHz and 15150 kHz. You can also listen to our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Listeners, here's our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to Grojogan Sewu in Central Java Province. Stay tuned.
Listeners, it is not complete if you visit Solo but you do not come to Grojogan Sewu, Tawangmangu in Central Java Province yet, which becomes an icon of tourism object in Solo or Surakarta. Grojogan Sewu waterfall is part of natural tourism forest of Grojogan Sewu. The waterfall is located at Tawangmangu sub-district, Karang Pandan Regency, Central Java, on the south of western of Mount Lawu or around 27 kilometers on the east Karanganyar City. Listeners, Grojogan Sewu is at an altitude of 1,200 meters above sea level and has a distance around 37 kilometers at the eastern part of Solo or Surakarta City. Going to waterfall can be accessed by using public transportation and takes around 1 until 1.5 hours. The waterfall opens from Monday to Sunday starting at 8 a.m. until 1600 p.m. local time. Since the Dutch colonial era, Grojogan Sewu has been the mainstay tourism object which is well known by Solo people and surrounding area. The waterfall is located at 20 hectares wide of protected forest. This tourism object has very beautiful natural panorama which is combined with mountain fresh air. It makes tourists feeling comfortable to stay longer at the waterfall complex. If you like photograph at this complex, there are many pine trees and monkeys as well as river flow of the waterfall which can be photographic spot. Listeners, if you take holiday at Grojogan Sewu, you do not only enjoy the beauty of the waterfall, but you can also buy typical vegetables and fruit. Tawangmangu is a mountainous region which produces many agricultural products such as sweet potato, fruit, vegetable, ornamental plant, and also processing product which can be souvenir. Listeners, Grojogan Sewu area is dominated by pine and tropical trees. Monkeys at the waterfall area are also tame, which are already accustomed to human presence. The facility at around Grojogan Sewu waterfall is very complete. You do not have to worry because there are hotel and lodging which are ready to welcome domestic and foreign tourists staying at night. There are also forest animal park, swimming pool for adults and children, and stalls which sell food and beverage with cheap prices and typical food from this region, rabbit satay. Meat of rabbit is a little bit tough, but it has soft meat fiber. If it is added with peanut condiment, slices of chili and red onion, and served with lontong, it becomes more delicious. Listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today. We meet again tomorrow with another topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Thank you for still being with us, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestion or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia, PO Box 1157 Jakarta, Indonesia or to our email address at english@voi.co.id. Listeners, now let's listen to our segment Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
How to speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today, we feature a topic entitled Mencari Supir, which in English means looking for a driver. Stay tuned. As usual, I will introduce you to the vocabulary and expressions that relate to today's topic of conversation. I'll say the sentence twice slowly, and you can repeat after me. Selamat pagi. Selamat pagi, which means good morning. Bapak or Pak, which means Mr. or Sir. Saya, which means I. Dengar, which means to hear. Mencari, which means to look for. Supir or pengemudi. Supir or pengemudi, which means driver. Kamu, kamu, which means you. Seorang, seorang, which means a person. Bekerja, bekerja, which means to work. Di sini, which means here. Berapa lama? Berapa lama, which means how long. Membawa, membawa, which means to bring. Mobil, mobil, which means car. Kira-kira, kira-kira, which means about. Sembilan tahun, which means 9 years. Di mana, which means where. Sebelumnya, sebelumnya, which means before. Taksi, taksi, which means taxi. Gaji, gaji, which means salary. Perbulan, perbulan, which means per month. 2 juta rupiah, 2 juta rupiah, which means 2 million rupiah. Uang makan, which means meal allowance. 50 ribu rupiah, 50 ribu rupiah, which means 50,000 rupiah. Lembur, lembur, which means overtime. 10 ribu rupiah, 10 ribu rupiah, which means 10,000 rupiah. Per jam, per jam, which means per hour. Sabtu, Sabtu, which means Saturday. Minggu, minggu, which means Sunday. Libur, libur, which means holiday. Mulai, mulai, which means to start or to begin. Sampai besok, sampai besok, which means until tomorrow. Now, we give you an example of conversation entitled Mencari Supir, or in English means looking for driver. The conversation is between A driver and B Michelle at the office. A, selamat pagi pak. Selamat pagi pak, which means good morning sir. Saya dengar bapak mencari supir. Saya dengar bapak mencari supir, which means I heard you look for a driver. B, Michael. Ya betul, saya mencari seorang pengemudi. Ya betul, saya mencari seorang pengemudi, which means yes, that's right. I look for a driver. Apakah kamu mau bekerja di sini? Apakah kamu mau bekerja di sini? Which means, do you want to work here? A, driver. Saya mau bekerja di sini. Saya mau bekerja di sini. Which means, yes, I want to work here. B, Michael. Sudah berapa lama kamu membawa mobil? Sudah berapa lama kamu membawa mobil? Which means, how long have you driven a car? A. Sudah lama, Pak. Sudah lama, Pak. Which means, quite long time, sir. Kira-kira, sudah 9 tahun. Kira-kira, sudah 9 tahun. Which means, about 9 years. B. Michael. Sebelumnya bekerja di mana? Sebelumnya bekerja di mana? Which means, where did you work before? A. Driver. Saya supir taksi, Pak. Saya supir taksi, Pak. Which means, I was a taxi driver, sir. B. Michael. Baiklah. Baiklah, which means, alright. Gaji kamu 2 juta rupiah per bulan. Gaji kamu 2 juta rupiah per bulan. Which means, your salary is 2 million rupiah per month. Uang makan kamu 50 ribu rupiah. Uang makan kamu 50 ribu rupiah. Which means, your meal allowance is 50,000 rupiah. Untuk lembur, 10 ribu rupiah per jam. Untuk lembur, 10 ribu rupiah per jam. Which means, and 10,000 rupiah per hour for overtime. Sabtu dan Minggu libur. Sabtu dan Minggu libur. Which means, the day offs are Saturday and Sunday. Apakah kamu setuju? Apakah kamu setuju? Which means, do you agree? A. Driver. Saya setuju, Pak. Saya setuju, Pak. Which means, I agree, sir. B. Michael. Kalau begitu, besok kamu mulai bekerja. Kalau begitu, besok kamu mulai bekerja. Which means, so you may start to work tomorrow. B. Michael. Kalau begitu, besok kamu mulai bekerja. Kalau begitu, besok kamu mulai bekerja. Which means, so you may start to work tomorrow. A. Driver. Baik, Pak. Baik, Pak. Which means, alright, sir. Terima kasih. Terima kasih. Which means, thank you. Sampai besok. Sampai besok. Which means, I will be here tomorrow. That was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully, it can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. We'll see you again with a different topic. Thanks for your attention. See you and sampai jumpa. Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, I will introduce you to an Indonesian pop singer, Rafika Duri. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Tertusuk Duri by Rafika Duri. Happy listening.
Kalau ku tahu ini
Listener, in 1971, at 11 years old, Rafika Duri of Fika achieved the first winner of pop singer in Bangka. After that, Fika moved to Jakarta and stayed with her sister. In Jakarta, Fika took a singing private lesson. Her name was known after winning the singing contest of radio and television stars, or Bintang Radio dan Televisi, in 1976. At that time, Fika met with Harvey Malaiholo, who incidentally also won the male singer category. Harvey eventually also famous as Fika's duet partner. The name of Rafika Duri soared through the song Tertusuk Duri, composed by Arianto. Fika was more famous when successfully awarded Gayagam Award at the International Song Festival through the song Hanya Untukmu, composed by Arianto in 1978. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Hanya Untukmu by Rafika Duri. Happy listening. Listener, in 1982, Rafika Duri tried pose as music genre together with Irang Maulana and produced 4 albums. Initially, Fika just wanted to find something new since she performed her talent in pop genre. Rafika ever recorded the film song composed by Idris Sardi in a low voice as the song Christina, the voice that has been considered by Irang Maulana appropriate to sing pose as songs. Then, Rafika started learning the songs from the Bossa album of Bossa Nova queen singer from Brazil, Astrid Gilberto, known through the song The Girl from Ipanema or Fly Me to the Moon. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the two songs entitled Tirai and Dilanda Cinta by Rafika Duri. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kilohertz, 9525 kilohertz, and 11785 kilohertz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.